see him come off the line of scrimmage with that little hop step.
Off the line of scrimmage.
Release off the line of scrimmage. Nick to the face mask as he's coming off the line of scrimmage.
Watch him just slow play this off the line of scrimmage.
Saw the release off the line of scrimmage.
Yo, what's going on, people? It's another episode of Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast, episode 112. On this episode, we're going to be talking about running back rooms that are that we find interesting or that might be interesting to you, trying to figure out before we get into, you know, this the draft season and startups and, you know, getting ready for, you know, your rookie drafts or anything else that you might be getting into after the draft happens. Ike, the other host of the show, how you doing? How you feeling? What's going on?
Good. This is a period where, you know, we are 1 week away from the draft, man, and it's going to be exciting. And those of you that don't know already, but please get familiar, Destination Devi hosting the biggest draft party of the weekend. Lots of giveaways, lots of, you name it. There's all kinds of things at your disposal. It's going to be the biggest draft party of all the platforms. Please be sure you tune in. Please be sure you tap in with us. Join with all 3 days. It's going to be an extravaganza like you've never seen before.
Yeah, man. You know, 15 plus hours of draft analysis, just or content, just whatever that might come from, you know, each pick in terms of like a dynasty perspective, how you might treat them in, you know, in your best ball drafts or how you might treat them in your rookie drafts. Dozens of prizes are going to be going on. Distributed throughout the stream, like, you know, free signed jerseys, free Heisman memberships, anything like that. But the catch is you just got to make sure when you sign up for Underdog, you got to use the promo code DDD, and that will lock you into the drawing for any of the free prizes during the stream of the 15 hours through Thursday through Saturday for the NFL draft next week. So I'm definitely excited about that. I know we're going to be doing a draft prop show right before the draft happens next week with Brandon and Jay Rich. So make sure y'all tap into next week's episode for that. But I mean, that's pretty much, oh no. One last thing. I know we talked beforehand, but if you have not watched X-Men 97 on Disney Plus, or, you know, there's places where you can watch it for free, but
you didn't
hear that from me. But if you have not been watching,
he's over here.
I'm out of here. But I highly advise you to watch that, man, especially for our old heads like myself. Growing up in the mid to late 90s, watching X-Men on Saturday mornings, this will definitely bring you back. And I mean, they did their thing on this one, specifically episode 5 would get you locked in if you weren't locked in on the previous 4 episodes. Episode 5 would get you locked in for the rest of the season. So tap into X-Men 97 if you haven't watched it already. I know Ike said he hasn't watched any of them. Perfect. You can binge them because they're worth it.
Yeah, I definitely need to get on that. Literally everybody that I've talked to that's talked about this series said the same thing. Fire. For lack of a better term, they've all had positive and glowing reviews. It's the highest rated Disney Plus series of all time for Marvel Studios.
So they needed it.
That's not hyperbole either. That's a fact. They said it's the highest rated series that they've ever done. So I'm sold. I'm going to binge this after the show, after we're done recording. So I can't wait. Can't wait. You know, I love me some Marvel, some Disney Plus, Marvel Studios Disney Plus series. So yeah, I'm in. I'm all in.
Yeah, Disney definitely needed it. They've been taking big hits after the Avengers, so maybe this might, you know, re-spark some lost fans back into, you know, their universe. All right, running back rooms. Let's talk about it. I know a lot of these rooms are kind of, you know, looking kind of sketch, looking kind of, hey, I don't know what's going on. Hopefully we can, you know, chop it up a little bit and give a little more clarity of how these might shake out or how they're looking currently and possibly on your roster. So who's the first thing you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think one backfield we can go ahead and just start talking about is the Chargers, because that one has a little bit of movement as of today. You know, J.K. Dobbins signed the 1 year deal with the Chargers before we got on the air. You know, that was breaking news that came through it doesn't really move the needle because J.K. Dobbins has been hurt over the last couple of years. Now he just tore, he's coming off an Achilles tear. I think this is maybe one of those things where they're just, they just want to see where he is physically, one of those kick the tires kind of thing. He might be a camp body because I don't know. I don't think this really impacts what the Chargers are going to do in the draft. And I think one of their plans, or, you know, part of their plan is to draft a running back on day two. Maybe not second round, but probably potentially in the third round. I know Dane Brugler's latest draft had them taking in Blake Corum in the third round.
Of course.
He's been mocked extensively to the Chargers in round two or round three because of the connection he has with Jim Harbaugh. I get it. It would be, and honestly, it'd be a good fit because there's a lot of opportunity available for the for any Charger running back. I mean, obviously Gus Edwards signed in free agency earlier this offseason, but 88% of available carries, 100% of the carries inside the five, all up for grabs. So there's a lot of opportunity for any running back that gets there. But I don't think this J.K. Dobbins move really changes things. It changes that approach for the Chargers. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, somebody, you know, trying to recover from an Achilles injury, I mean, we haven't really seen that, you know, pay positive, you know, results for anybody, especially the first year coming back. I can't think of anybody in recent memory in terms of being running back. I mean, you saw, you know, Akers come back, but he didn't really move the needle for you on your fantasy roster. So, yeah, I mean, and on top of that, the Chargers, who else is in their depth chart besides Gus Edwards would be Isaiah Spiller, and he's been a zero since he's been in the league. So,
give me nothing.
Yeah, so for me, this is just more of like, you know, Gus Edwards is going to at least get the first, second down rolls, the goal line work, probably short yardage area running. So they might be looking for a pass catching back. J.K. didn't really show that for the Ravens, really, when he was healthy. We really haven't seen it from Spiller. So, I mean, I agree with you in terms of them. They'll probably be looking to draft another back. I would assume they would be looking for a back that can – to catch some passes. But I know in the Greg Roman offense, they never really asked the running backs to really, you know, be able to, you know, catch the ball from the backfield. So should be interesting what they do. I know, you know, everybody on the planet is just expecting the Chargers to be running a bunch of 12 personnel and just run the ball, you know, 60-70% of the time, even though they got, you know, Justin Herbert as quarterback, but they're definitely going to be establishing it. So, I agree with you in terms of this is going to be a lot of Gus Edwards and somebody else, you know, supplementing. So for me, Gus Edwards would be the guy you want to draft. He's the 60%er. I mean, even an underdog, they agree that, I mean, he's going RB38 for what it's worth. JK's RB65 currently. So, I mean,
yeah,
there's not really else to talk about with this one.
Yeah, Gus Edwards, 100, basically the 127th player off the board. So he's going into double digit rounds. So you're getting a starting running back, potentially getting a lot of goal line touches, red zone opportunities. And, you know, they hope to also address the wide receiver position as well, to potentially get into more scoring position and get weapons around Justin Herbert. Because as we've discussed, they don't really have anything at wide receiver aside from Josh Palmer. I don't know, they have first round pick Quentin Johnston from last year, but he was basically a zero in 2023. Yep. And hopefully he can turn that around. But as of right now, it's pretty bleak from a pass catching perspective. So Gus Edwards is going to be getting a lot of opportunity in Los Angeles. What backfield do you want to discuss next?
Let's talk about the Titans. I know you saw King Henry, he left, and that pretty much left almost 73% of available carries, you know, just up for grabs, and almost 85% of carries inside the five. So a lot of opportunity. We saw the Titans sign Tony Pollard from the Dallas Cowboys. They already have Tajay Spears. Right now, Pollard's going RB23 in underdog drafts. Spears is now going RB35. I remember at one point, I think we talked about whenever Pollard signed with them, they were within like an 8-player range in terms of RB range. And now Spears is kind of been being dropped down a little bit, and Pollard's still kind of hovering around the same area that he was when we talked about this about a month and a half ago or so, which should be interesting to see how they handle this, because, I mean, we saw Tony Pollard handle a little over 252 carries, and he didn't get over the four yards per carry mark. We saw him kind of struggle early in the season. He did get a little more. He did have a little more juice towards the back end of the season. But you know, overall, I think this backfield might be a little more, I don't want to say muddled. People are assuming that, you know, Pollard is going to be splitting with Spears. It might look 50-50, but, you know, kind of looking at, Zach Robinson coming from the tree that he comes from, Sean McVay, they usually you want to trust one running back. They don't really deploy two. So it should be interesting. If it's my guess, then I think this ADP for Pollard makes sense in terms of him being RB23 and him handling majority of the work share in this backfield. But I know, again, last year, and we've seen even the previous year, the best way to deploy Pollard isn't a guy that's the every down back. He needs to be supplemented. So, and these two guys are, you know, Colin, I mean, I know Pollard is not small, but he would be on the smaller end for somebody that's a bell cow type of back. So I would assume that there would be some kind of split share, maybe 55-45. It could be 65-35. But I mean, we'll see. That, I mean, that's just my thoughts about how I see this backfield.
Yeah, and then, you know, just last year, I mean, if you mentioned, you know, the carries inside the five that are available, 84% of those are available. So even when Tajay Spears was on the team, he wasn't getting those touches. He wasn't getting those opportunities. And Tony Pollard last year, when he was at, when he was in Dallas, he had 17 attempts inside the five. Now he wasn't very productive with those carries. He scored basically 8 touchdowns below expectation. And that was a relatively high number. So, and he's coming off of a career low 4 yards per carry. Now that could be attributable to the ankle injury he came off of prior, you know, in the previous offseason. And maybe this is another year removed and he has his explosiveness back. So I think RB23 is a pretty appropriate price for him based on how much available opportunity is, you know, in that backfield from 2023 into 2024, despite having Tajay Spears, who's going, you know, 11 RB slots later at RB34, and he's basically the 114th player off the board on underdog. So I think we are going to see a split of 55-45, 60-40-ish, in favor of Pollard. At least that's how it projects, at least right now, based on how these two players were used in 2023. But yeah, I mean, if Tony Pollard was just average, you know, in 2023, you know, not having, you know, 8 touchdowns below expectation, he probably would have finished well inside of the top 7, top 8 running backs in 2023. So we'll see how they're deployed, but in terms of their usage and their pass game usage, I mean, there was a lot of similarities there. Tony Pollard had 67 mm-hmm. targets. Tajay Spears had 70 targets. They both caught, over 50 balls, around 300, 400 yards receiving. Tony Pollard had 82% catch rate. Tajay Spears 74% catch rate. And so there's a lot of similarities with their pass game usage. And so I think it's going to be 55-45, 60-40 split between those two.
Yeah, and I misspoke earlier. I said Zach Robinson. I meant Brian Callahan as the coach, but he still comes from, byproduct of the Sean McVay coaching tree. So, again, I still think he would want one guy to, you know, handle majority of workload, but I think these guys are, you know, pretty similar. So we could see something more like, you know, the 55-45. Close to 60-40 kind of split. So
who are you drafting more of in best ball, Spears or Pollard?
And with the drafts I've done so far, about 40, I think I've only gotten 2 Spears and I've drafted 5 Pollard. So my answer would be Pollard. I probably need to get a little more exposure to the Pollard after my whole spill. So, and then with their offense, you know, having, you know, D-Hop and Ridley should allow them to not, you know, face stack boxes a lot. And then on top of that, if they end up drafting a top tackle in this draft, like Joe Alt, if he makes it to them, or, you know, anybody else, it should help that offensive line. And again, to help, you know, help these guys be able to, you know, carry the ball efficiently.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of split down the middle for me. I both have 11% exposures of both of them. And I have a couple of slow drafts, and I've been doing slow drafts, so I know I talked all that shit about slow drafts being the way, but I jumped it a whole bunch, just, you know, I guess because in fear, because I didn't want the big board to close on me, but it looks like there's still some opportunity left to draft. So I still based on the results of those, I think I've been drafting a lot more Spears and Pollard, but I'll have to double check to see how it all shakes out once those drafts are complete.
Yeah. Yeah, that big board is 96.3%. So it's about to end right on time for the big boy that should be coming around the draft time. So,
yep. All right, next backfield. Let's briefly touch on the Dolphins. We saw them be super productive. You know, Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert were super efficient when they touched the ball, and that whole Dolphins offense, their run game was pretty efficient. I mean, look no further than that game when they scored 70 points against the Broncos. Man. They were both RB1s that year, that week. They both had multiple touchdowns that week. It was just they had a field day. But, you know, Devon Achane is obviously going the highest right now. He's RB13. He led the league in yards per carry at just under 8 yards per carry, and he was the RB5 in points per game, just under 18. But he had an RB24 overall finish. So there's a lot of volatility there. You know, he's either going to hit really, really big, or he's going to really dud. He dudded in the playoffs. I don't know if he was necessarily healthy, but I mean, Devon Achane, I mean, he's super explosive, and I don't know what a fully healthy season looks like for him. I mean, you can't really extrapolate that efficiency throughout, you know, a 17 game season. But I mean, We've seen it happen for some guys. What are your thoughts on Devon Achane? Because his efficiency was off the charts. Like, it was like unprecedented levels off the charts.
Dude, 103 carries for 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. Like, no, who does that?
Yeah,
like, it's crazy. But the thing is,
really wild.
Yeah, and like you say, it was either like he smashed or he dudded, and that's really mainly because Mostert, he smashed. Like, you couldn't touchdowns. Get him off the field. Yeah, he scored 20 touchdowns. He scored 18 on the ground. He was a guy that, you know, had like a almost 9% touchdown rate, which is unheard of for a running back, while you got somebody behind you that's taking half the carries and he's scoring at almost an 8% touchdown rate himself. So it was just that offense was just crazy during those certain weeks where they were scoring multiple touchdowns and for long touchdowns. But, you know, Achane, I mean, they re-signed Mostert, so I still think they're going to kind of trust Mostert a little bit more than Achane. I know Achane was dealing with injuries here and there during the season, but I definitely think Mostert is the guy that they trust more. And Achane will just spell him whenever, you know, whenever the time comes. But, you know, we're seeing Achane going to RB13 and Mostert at RB27. So
did you see a recent picture of Achane?
No, I have not.
How big he looks. He looks like rocked up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he looks yoked. he looks yoked like that. Well, yeah, he looks like he's out for blood in 2024.
You know, go for
just a picture. Just a picture of him in t-shirt on. Yeah. I mean, it's a picture, but it's, in any event, yeah, he looks like jacked.
I guess he like you say, he's ready for blood. Okay, I see the picture. He does look a little bigger than what I remember him last. So
yeah,
maybe he's ready to, you know, take on a little more than 103 carries. I mean, those nagging injuries were bugging him throughout the season. So maybe so he'd be able to, you know, take more of these hits so he can, you know, do more in the offense. But I think RB13 is a little rich for somebody that only had 103 carries. I know this offense is very efficient, but when Mostert's right going at RB 27, I'm taking Mostert. Even though I like Achan.
Yeah. He's going around the range of Travis Etienne, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Rashad White, Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor.
Let me ask you this. Is the Dolphins a spot where they might draft a running back maybe in the fourth round? Maybe somebody of a different build, because Mostert and Achan I think Mostert is about 6 foot, but he's kind of like on the leaner end, like 200, 205, and Achan was under 200. Maybe they go get a back that's 215, 220, especially with Mostert re-signing on a 1 year deal. I don't know if they brought back some of those other guys like Gaskins or some of these other guys that they had on their roster that didn't really. They were all similar build, but never really got no run.
Yeah, I think it's not off the table. It's not out of the realm of possibility that they draft a bigger bulkier back because Mostert's on a 1 year deal. So that makes sense for them to do that, to just get some depth, because they sustained injuries last year. Both of them did at various points in the season. So it would be helpful for them to get some depth for that backfield. So Yeah, fourth round. I mean, that's potential. I mean, that's a decent range for one of these backs, and it's an underwhelming running back class, as we've all mentioned throughout the offseason. Not the greatest running back class, but yeah, I can definitely see them drafting a running back. But what about the Bengals? Yeah. What about the Bengals backfield? Do you think
Real quick, just to go back, I did say Achane was RB 13 and Mostert was RB 27. Achane's actually RB 8 and Mostert is RB 22. So again, I'm still taking Mostert, but RB 8 is kind of rich, man. That's he's going by the back end of the second round. I'm not sure if I would spend my second round pick on Achane as somebody that's just a spell back, but that's just my two cents.
Yeah, right now, I would probably take a couple of shots at him, but he would be a priority of mine. Like I would take some shots at him just to make sure I got him in the portfolio for this round of drafts and on the big board. But I wouldn't be prioritizing him in my drafts. But as I was mentioning, going to transition to Cincinnati, like do you see Cincinnati as a team that could draft a running back, because they have Zach Moss for $4 million per year. And then they have Chase Brown, who's ready to step in, former fifth-round pick out of Illinois. And we saw him have some explosive plays in 2023, and mostly as a pass catcher. But the Bengals, they have 272 available carries and 281 total opportunities available, vacated by Joe Mixon, who's now with the Texans, who they traded. Yep. So I think we're under the impression that Zach Moss is going to be the goal line guy. He's going to be the early down grinder. And we've seen him be very productive in relief of Jonathan Taylor last year, have some huge games, things that I didn't even see out of Zach Moss.
Nobody did. I didn't know
Zach Moss had go like that.
Was unfamiliar with your game.
I was unfamiliar with his game, but now I'm familiar now. I gained a little bit more respect for Zach Moss after 2023. But is this another spot for a running back? I think so.
I mean, they did also resign. Was it Trevion Williams, who really hasn't really done too much outside of special teams work? I think they could be a spot where they draft another running back, because Zach Moss was just a 2 year deal. He's 27, 28. So could be another spot where they get another running back. Chase Brown, like you said, he did show some juice towards the end of the season, but they didn't really. They didn't really trust him like that, and clearly they still don't, because they went and got Zach Moss, who's basically the same thing as Joe Mixon at this point. Somebody that can grind out carries. If you need them to catch the ball, they can do that. So, it should be interesting. They could be a spot. They draft another running back, but they could also trust these two. They're on the bigger side of running backs for sure. So.
They're going around the same range in underdog too.
Yep.
Chase Brown, I think, or Zach Moss is RB 33. Zach Moss is RB 33, and Chase Brown's like RB 34, 35, something along those lines. So yeah, they're going relatively close in the same range. So it's like kind of take your pick.
I would take Moss. I'm not sure if I would. I'm not sure if I would take Brown currently, because they paid. I mean, even though they did pay him, like you said, we saw the tape last year and we saw one guy, you know, was damn near a league winner. If he, you know, if Taylor didn't come back earlier than expected, and then Chase Brown was just, you know, a spell back. So
yeah.
All right, so our home team, Dallas Cowboys. You know, Jerry Jones has made us look like fools with his whole
who made who?
Well, the Cowboys fans, not us specifically, because we've been talking about this. Yeah,
let's be clear about that. They make a fool of people who actually still believe the BS that comes out of their mouth. That's who they make a fool of.
He's making some Cowboys fans look like fools with this whole we're all in, and he hasn't done much, but he wanted to hang his hat on, you know, re-signing Royce Freeman, re-signing Rico Dowdle, and you got Deuce Vaughn on your roster. So this is your running back room currently. 339 available rushes. That's about 82%. Almost 88% of the carries inside the five are available. What do you make of this backfield? I know for me, I don't even care. Does it matter?
Doesn't matter. It's an avoid. I'm avoiding any Cowboys. I mean, if there's one person to take a shot on, it's probably Rico Dowdle, because we saw him score touchdowns. We saw him, you know, in whenever the Cowboys were blowing out teams, we saw him have some production. But it wasn't really much outside of those particular moments in time. But by and large, I'm not really focusing on the Cowboys backfield until we see who they draft. That's the guy that I'm probably going to go after. And that's, I mean, conventional wisdom will suggest that, hey, the Cowboys are going to take a running back day two. But we know how they operate. Whenever they're expected to do something like plug a hole that they really need to address, They'll go elsewhere, and then they'll address it like way later when you're not expecting them to, with an investment in like what, round five or something. They may address running back in round five as opposed to like round three, when it's really kind of like the sweet spot for most of the running backs in this class to go. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't foresee myself taking too many Cowboys running backs until after the draft, until we see like where they land. Now, if they don't, let's say like for some strange reason they don't address the running back position in the draft, I mean, you may be forced to take one of these guys in best ball, because that means, hey, these guys survived in one way or another. Rico Dowdle will probably be the biggest winner because he is the incumbent running back that's left there. And I know they just signed Royce Freeman, but he's not really a needle mover. And Deuce Vaughn, I mean, we've tried to, you know, see how. I mean, he's a real small guy, so he's probably going to use in a specialty role, satellite back kind of type situation. But if they somehow don't leave the draft with a running back, Rico Dowdle and whoever else,
I would dabble in some Dowdle. But I would probably punch in more tickets in Royce Freeman, just because he's free. He's going RB96. That's the end of the draft. I would take a chance. I would take a stab at him and see what happens. Because honestly, I mean, nobody, like, look at those names. Like, those, that's disgusting. Like, you can't take that serious. I'm just bewildered. Honestly, I just don't get it. And then on top of all this, you know, just talking about the running backs, we still got holes in the offensive line that need to be taken care of.
So they want to be able to run the ball. Whoever's in the backfield, they're not going to have any running lanes. So yeah, they definitely need to address, because the running back or their run game last year was pathetic.
Yeah,
if we're keeping it a buck, they didn't have a 100-yard rusher. The last time they had a 100-yard rusher was September against the Cardinals.
Yeah, man.
The last time they had a 100-yard rusher, so they were pathetic at running the ball last year. So they. You know, we want to talk about, you know, the Cowboys' failures in the playoffs. Each of the last 3 years they've lost in the playoffs, you know what the running backs have averaged? 3 yards a carry, 3.2 yards per carry. They haven't been able to run the ball consistently. So yeah, especially last year down the stretch, they were bad. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the draft. Hopefully they address it like, you know, sensible team, a sensible front office would do. But let's talk about the division rivals, the Commanders' backfield. They just signed Austin Ekeler. You know, he's coming off of his worst career, his worst year as a Charger. Averaged 4.4 yards per carry. For context, I mean, like in 2022, he averaged 4.5 yards per carry. And then in 2023, he averaged 3.5 yards per carry, which was a career low for him. And, you know, he had the high ankle sprain. You saw there was multiple times where he broke free and he looked like there was a peon on his back. And, you know, there was not a lot of juice and a lot of explosiveness for Austin Ekeler. And I know Austin Ekeler is a guy that, you know, he takes care of his body really, really well. He puts in a lot of work in the offseason and trains really, really well. But they have Brian Robinson there who the Commanders actually like. They're both going in the same range as well. I mean, Austin Ekeler, RB29. Brian Robinson, RB32. Brian Robinson finishes RB21, and then Austin Ekeler finishes RB20 in points per game. So they're really more similar than anything. And now they're gonna have a new offensive coordinator with Cliff Kingsbury, and the rush offenses haven't been that great. They've been kind of up and down. 2019 and 2021 they were 10th, and then 2020 and 2022 they were, you know, 22nd or worse. But I mean, if there's one thing to kind of look at, that may be a positive, for both of these guys, depending on who gets the rock and depending on who's going to be getting the most, opportunity there, is that in the red zone, they rush the ball quite a bit. They're top 10, at least Cliff Kingsbury's offenses, they have a tendency to rush the ball a lot more in the red zone. And I think they're top 10 in red zone rush rate. In his coaching tenure. So that's something to kind of hang your hat on. But in best ball, how are you treating these two?
I'll probably just, you know, bouncing between the two, honestly. I don't know who's going to be the guy. These are both, no, at least average running backs. You know, for whatever it's worth, Brian Robinson, I know we were dogging him, but he's actually been a solid running back these first 2 years. Compared to Ekeler last year, he had more yards, better yards per carry, higher explosive run rate, force more missed tackles than Ekeler. So it should be interesting how they deployed him. Honestly, it's going to be a little tricky. We'll see specifically how they handle these two running backs inside the five, because both these guys handled, you know, higher than a 61% rate in terms of, you know, being in that goal to goal area. I think Ekeler handled around 80%, while, you know, Brian Robinson handled almost about 62%. So it should be interesting. But I've been actually drafting a little bit more of Brian Robinson than I have Ekeler. I think I have, like, out of the 40 teams I have, I think I have 8 shares of Robinson. I think four of Ekeler. I think on one team I actually had both, but that was really early on. I think that was even before they even, you know, Ekeler signed with the Commanders. So, which I'm not mad at. I have all the available, you know, rushing points for that backfield in best ball. So I can't be mad at that. One last running back room I want to touch on is the Raiders backfield. You know, they're going to be having about 65% of the carries and opportunities available. And the only guy that really makes any sense in terms of, you know, swallowing those is Zamir White, who was there last year, and we saw him average almost 16 points per game when Josh Jacobs was not, you know, available, which was a lot. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, that would about 16 points would have made him an RB1 for a season. So given the opportunity, it looks like Zamir White can, you know, do a little something with it. We did also see them sign Alexander Madison, or Alexander Madison, however you want to address him. But
Alexander Madison.
What are your thoughts in terms of, you know, him being mixed in? Do you think he even threatens, tickles any of this opportunity that could be, you know, presented to Zamir?
Who, you mean Alexander Madison?
Yeah.
kind of question? Of course not. No, he's not going to threaten Zamir White in any way, shape, or form. He's just going to be he's a veteran presence. I think they're going to deploy Zamir White. Now, granted, if they don't draft a running back in day two, day three, which is very possible. I'm sorry, day two, either in the second or third round, they don't draft a running back then. But if they don't draft a guy, they'll probably use Zamir White the way they use Josh Jacobs. Because we saw Zamir White when Josh Jacobs didn't play last year. He had 15.5 fantasy points per game, and he had some RB1 production. So he handled the role pretty well. He handled the opportunities, you know, relatively well. And you know, Alexander Mattison, to me, he got his spot taken by Ty Chandler. They saw him, you know, trot out there and not be productive and be very inefficient. And he was one of the biggest traps in fantasy football in 2023, because of the opportunity that he was coming in. But there was a better, more explosive back behind him. And we saw that come to fruition. We saw how bad he was, and you know that came to fruition. So I don't really see this as more that as Alexander Mattison spelling him, maybe being in on pass protection. You know, obviously on third downs, but Zamir White's going to get the bulk of the opportunity. And again, if they don't draft a running back on day two, in second or third round, then Zamir White's going to be vaulting up even higher on draft boards.
Yep.
And there's a chance that a lot of these running back rooms that we're talking about, they may leave the draft unscathed. But even then, like even any running back that comes into any of these situations, it's not really gonna move the needle that much, though. It's not really gonna sap the value of the incumbent running back because of how underwhelming this running back class ultimately is. Now, look, maybe a couple years down the line, we can say to ourselves, well, you know what, we really overlooked that 2024 running back class. Look at all this production that we're getting. We could. Stranger things have happened, but it's just a thought. Maybe galaxy brain thought, but a thought nonetheless. But yeah, we'll see. And then, you know, just briefly touching just on the last one here, Carolina. I mean, we have Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders going 20 running back slots apart. Chuba Hubbard, RB39, Miles Sanders, RB59. Obviously, Miles Sanders has the contract and he has the money, the money aspect. But Chuba Hubbard took over that backfield regardless of that, right? It didn't matter how much Miles Sanders was getting paid. Chuba Hubbard was getting all the opportunities that, the middle part of the season. I think it started pretty early, too. I think it started before the bye week. And then it just continued on. Chuba Hubbard led the team in carries, snaps, yards, routes, targets, expected fantasy points, points per game, carries inside the five. You just name it. Like, he just outproduced Miles Sanders every which way. And Miles Sanders is just relegated to just scraps, right? Scraps. And so, and with, I think Dave Canales came over from Tampa Bay, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with Dave Canales coming over, you know, the Bucs, they run a lot of zone concepts. They run more zone concepts than after they did last year. And guess what? Chuba Hubbard handled more of those concept runs and had a better yards per carry, yards and attempts and success rate than Miles Sanders. So he's got the leg up in every which way, at least right now, than Miles Sanders. And I think they can get out of Miles Sanders' contract after this season.
Yep.
With limited financial pain. So, usually SpotTrack does a good job, and Over the Cap as well does a good job of identifying the potential outs in some of these contracts. And I think their potential out is after the 2024 season going into 2025. So that's just another backfield. And just like last year, Chuba Hubbard is my highest drafted running back.
Yeah. He was last year for me. I need to actually check. Let me check where Chuba is for me. I tried to convince myself that Sanders might have a chance this season, with a new staff, and then kind of looking into it. I don't think so, my friend. I don't think it's going to happen for him. It's not looking too good. Actually, don't have any Chuba right now. I need to check. No, I don't. I don't have any Chuba, but I got 20% Miles Sanders. That definitely needs to change. Yeah, that's another
that I have.
That's a no-go. All right. Any other – you want to talk about any other running back rooms? I don't think – I mean, the Steelers, we already know what it is. You got a even more run-heavy offensive coordinator with Arthur Smith coming in. So, they're Najee and Jalen are going around the same range in underdog. Just have your choosing, honestly. There's no
– yeah.
Really no difference, but I don't got any other running back rooms. Do you?
No, I mean, I think the one of the more obvious running back deployments is the Lions one. We know what's going to happen with Gibbs and Montgomery. That's kind of the same, although yeah. Gibbs is going a little bit higher this year. He's going in the first round versus, you know, last year he was going in what, the second or third. But I think David Montgomery, I think, is probably going around the same range he was going last year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a round or two higher, but outside of that, we know what it is with them. We know how they're going to be deployed. Offensive coordinator is back. It's a really good thing for them to retain him. And so we know what it is with Detroit. So really nothing much to touch on in that regard.
Yep. All right. End of the show. Thank y'all for listening to us. Make sure you head over to destinationdevy.com. Check out the Trinity tool. Check out our NCAA comparison tool where you can compare some prospects going from 2018 to, you know, the guys are coming into the draft this year. You can also check out any of the free articles on there. You can also make sure you tap into Destination Devy YouTube page. You can check out Ty DeClaire as he breaks down dynasty trades throughout the previous week. Make sure you tap into Scott's portfolio series that he's doing. He's about to jump into the best ball, talking about portfolio approach in best ball coming up. And also, don't forget to make sure y'all tap in with us next week for the draft. 15 plus hours of live draft content, analysis from going from rookie draft dynasty. Anything you can think of, we're going to be talking about it and having fun while doing it. So make sure you tap into that. Make sure you use the promo code DDD when you sign up for Underdog to get you locked into the possible drawings that will be given away throughout the draft stream those 3 days. I don't got anything else. Follow us on Twitter, Fantasy Genes. That's GENES. Ike at just underscore Ike09.
Yeah, and then next week, we're going to be back. NFL Draft Prop Show with Jay, Rich, and Brandon. Please be sure you check that out and tune in for that one just before the biggest weekend in Destination Devy, this year, which is the draft weekend. We're going to do all the giveaways and whatnot. So it's going to be a great start to that weekend.
All right, y'all. We out of here. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.